website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. And let me remind you, as we face the issues based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. There are no errors in the Word of God, contrary to what multitudes try to convince you of. So as we look at the truth book, Jesus says in John 8:31-32, speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I commend that to you, the truth book, the Bible. We used to sing in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I commend it each and every day on this broadcast. It goes back to what is said by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be so true today. You stand up for truth, morally, ethically, biblically, theologically. You talk about civil government. You talk about political issues, as it is called today. And there are those that will get bristled up and all uptight, hair on fire, because they reject church. We're living in a society today where the woke culture is the only one that supposedly, in their mind, has a grasp, a grip, or control, our ownership of truth. It happens to be a bent, biased, their truth. In fact, it's the fact that in the millennials today, the 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group say this: each person determines their own version of truth. That's simply impossible, ladies and gentlemen. Simply an impossibility. We are talking about truth. And as we look at what I'm calling today, evidence that demands a verdict. I'll tell you why I'm using that title in a moment. I'll tell you the source of that title and why it is so relevant, I believe, today. We need to get back to truth, the fundamental, foundational, elemental truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus made a powerful statement. "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my commitment each and every day. That's my challenge to you, our listeners, each and every day, is that we stand on the truth, love the truth, learn the truth, live it, tell it, defend it, even to death. You say, "Well, how is that possible?" I believe as each and every 24-hour cycle passes, in the world in which we're living, I believe we're living nearer and nearer to the day that Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America and around the globe will literally put their life on the line for standing for the truth of the Word of God. There are parts of Africa today where Christians are being slaughtered fact, the latest research on that subject, over 1 million Christians have been slaughtered because of their faith. 18,000 churches totally destroyed, mostly being burned. It's by the Islamic jihadist. And yet there's silence in the media and in the Oval Office about that issue. We're looking at today a rejection, repulsion, rebellion for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowner. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and the Beltway, I-295. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, the invitation is drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you recall it or not. I do very distinctly, having had the privilege of reading the book, perhaps you recall it. A book by Josh McDowell entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Josh was a young law student 40 years ago plus. He was an atheist, agnostic. He rejected the biblical account of the life, the birth, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So Josh McDowell determined to prove the Bible wrong. He began to study, to research, to analyze, to scrutinize. He did a massive in-depth research of biblical evidence with the biblical text, looking at the biblical validity and whether or not it was trustworthy. Listen very carefully. At the end of his journey, trying to disprove the Bible, trying to disprove the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Josh McDowell found overwhelming proof, overwhelming tangible evidence that the biblical record, recordings of the life, ministry, and death of the Lord Jesus Christ was believable, was factual. Josh McDowell became a believer as a result of his research. His book, then, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, became a bestseller. Even lately, reading an update on that, his son now has updated it. It's about 1,000 pages, I understand. I'm not seeing the new update of that volume. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Ladies and gentlemen, today, I believe we have mounds and mounds and mounds of evidence, visible, irrefutable evidence that America's on the wrong track, that America is headed down the pathway of destruction, that America's morals and ethics and values are literally corrupt. Even in the realm of religion, major corruption today as never before. Thus, ladies and gentlemen, we must determine what is wrong. We must decide what we, the people, must do to preserve our constitutional republic. I realize that's a powerful statement. That's a broad, 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 brush subject. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to just briefly articulate a few things to set the stage for the introduction of our special guest today. And we're going to ask questions and talk about some of these things that I call mounds and mounds and mounds of evidence of what is happening in America that demands a verdict. And we, the people, in this setting, in this segment, we're going to call we, the people, the jury. What's the verdict? How will we determine what is truth and what is error? What shall we do? Going back to Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? We're talking about today evidence that demands a verdict. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the beginning. Listen, I'm just going to give a smattering of some of these major, major points. Then we're going to introduce our special guest. I believe we're witnessing, and I've said this for over a year, I believe we're witnessing the beginnings of World War III. We're watching China come into play. We're watching Russia, North Korea, Iran, and many other elements coming into play that vivify for me that we're in the last of the last days based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The dual justice system that we see today, the DOJ, the FBI, the NIH, the DHS, the CIA, the FBI, and all of the other three-letter acronym agencies, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today a justice system that's out of control. If you don't believe that, just watch what they're doing with President Donald J. Trump. Looking at a headline, Jonathan Turley says, Smith is convincing Americans DOJ is thoroughly compromised. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, an expert on the constitutional law, has testified before Congress and even represented members in court. Among these professionals who doubt the value of Jack Smith's indictment of President Trump for conspiracy and obstruction over his First Amendment-protected comments about the 2020 election. And I could read you the four-page article. Howbeit, let me just simply suffice it to say, what Jonathan Turley is saying is that Jack Smith, the supposed jackleg, if I can call him that, special counsel. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, he's not won a case. Every case he's ever won in the lower courts, either at the federal appeals level or at the U.S. Supreme level, he's lost the cases. He is bringing a very, very, very strong case, as it seems, by the social Marxist media and the woke left. They're gleeful every time something else is said about Jack Smith and Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, it is proof positive, as Jonathan Turley says, that the DOJ is thoroughly compromised. We have a dual system of justice in America today. Headline says, DOJ indictment of Donald Trump is a declaration of war against all Americans. Why is it so, ladies and gentlemen? Because it is Donald Trump that they're using. He is the tip of the spear, but they're after every citizen as we stand for truth, speak the truth, and defend the truth of the Word of God and defending our liberties as found in the Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, if they can take his First Amendment freedom to speak away, it eviscerates any freedom that you or I may think that we have. We're witnessing that today. Another headline, I'll just read the headline. Trump prosecutor actually targeting all Americans, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the evidence before us, it demands a verdict. How should we then live? It demands a verdict. Are we on the right track? What we see taking place, is that going to be the norm for the future in America? We're told today that climate change is causing the floods and the fires and the earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera. Evidence, however, ladies and gentlemen, and I've got a fistful of articles, evidence prove that the majority, if not all, of these fires have been started by arsonists, not by spontaneous combustion because of climate change, not by the climate change, ladies and gentlemen. So what I'm saying is, what I'm wanting us to see, and the tilt that I want us to understand today, evidence that demands a verdict. What are some of the things we see happening? What's the evidence of it? And ladies and gentlemen, what kind of verdict did we walk away with? Headline looking at climate change theory up in smoke as video shows the real cause of wildfires. A drone caught one recently starting a fire. He even then started throwing rocks at the drone. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm delighted to have with us today a special guest and friend of Let's Face the Issues, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the Florida House of Representatives in the state of Florida. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues today, Congressman Hill. We're delighted to have you with us. Thankful that you've taken the time away from a busy schedule to be with us. We want to talk about some of the things you've recently experienced in one of your seminars that you were in. We want to talk about, get your take on where we are, what's happening, and what America is doing, and what we should do in relationship to it. You've heard my brief monologue. What's your take on that? How do you respond to it? And again, welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on your show. And as you started off with your monologue and you mentioned this whole idea of how the left, the alarmists on the left, are declaring that because of anthropogenic climate change, that our planet is in grave danger. And we have those on the left, including the Biden administration, saying this is the number one priority of not only his administration, but of the military. He is saying that anthropogenic, human-causing climate change is the number one priority for our military. And it's insane, Dr. Youngblood, because we as humans do not have the ability to affect climate change to the point where it changes our climate. We don't have that ability. What is the major forces that cause our climate to change is, of course, the sun and our proximity distance to the sun. As the Earth rotates and oscillates, that is what causes our climate to change. And that is why those along the equator who don't feel the oscillation as much, their climate doesn't change. It's been steady, hot, for the longest period of time. And we see those on the left, the alarmists, as you say, because they are so desperate to try to put forward their agenda, that they'll even fabricate it, such as catching these individuals, starting these wildfires, and then saying that it was caused by climate change, that it's so hot that all of a sudden these forests just catch on fire, which of course is complete nonsense. It, even if they were to say that humans have caused it to be so hot through climate change that there's not enough rain, and so the forests have become dry, and then when lightning strikes, it causes these huge forest fires. That is not caused by humans. We don't have the ability to cause it to have a rainy season or a dry season. There was a time, Dr. Youngblood, when I had the opportunity to debate Bill Nye, the so-called science guy, and for 90 minutes we debated in Tallahassee. And it was interesting that I was able to get him to admit at the end of 90 minutes, I said, Bill, you think that our planet is sick right now. You think it is sick, that it needs to be healed. He said, that's right. And I said, and you think that that sickness is coming from humans. Is that correct? He said, that's right. And I said, do you know what the answer is to that? And he looked at me. And I said, do you think that the answer is less humans on this planet? He said, that's right. I said, well, you're wrong. I said, here's the answer to getting our planet healed. And you'll find it in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. In other words, we have to turn away from our sin, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
We have to ask for God's forgiveness, and then the land will be healed. Not less humans on this planet, and going by their agenda of murdering babies in the womb, by this giving people these vaccines that they know are not effective, and every other type of way they're doing to reduce our populations on the planet, when instead we should obey God's word, which says, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen. And you find in Genesis 8:22, where God makes the commitment that as long as the earth stands, there'll be, I'm going to paraphrase, there'll be hot and cold, there'll be summer and winter, there'll be day and night, and God doesn't change. Congressman,
right.
I'm looking at an article. Title of the article is Wildfire Arson Getting Worse in California. This article says a college professor caught a woman in a bikini, and just this month it was father and son. A confounding collection of Californians have been accused of contributing to one of the worst wildfire seasons in the state's history, a season that saw three killed, thousands of homes leveled, and more than 2.5 million acres burned. While fires ignited by downed power lines and lightning have caused widespread destruction in recent years, this last wildfire season was unusual for the number of large fires that were linked to arson. This article goes on to say, since 2019 through 2021, 140 people have been arrested for setting forest fires in California. And said, just in the past year, that number has doubled. And yet they want to blame it on, in fact, when they say climate change causes it, the media then carries that water for the alarmist, the climate change alarmist, and they never go back and put a footnote to that, that we discovered that the climate change didn't cause that fire. Someone struck a match and caused the fire. We are listening to the radicals, and one of the things that, as I introduced the broadcast with the story of Josh McDowell and evidence demands a verdict. If we see that, if we know that, it demands a verdict. What is the verdict? Is it climate change, or is it the fact that we are not properly prosecuting arsonists? And it's taking place not just in America, not just in California, not just in the Northwest, not just, by the way, in Canada, where we've seen all of the mega fires. They've discovered that's by arsonists, and also around the globe. I've got article after article about where that is taking place on a global basis. It's the alarmists that want to make it look as though climate change is causing it, and therefore they push through legislation and penalties as a result of it. Congressman, give us your insight and overview of the Trump prosecution. That's a long, long, long story, but just very poignantly, pointedly, and point by point, share with our listeners. I believe we have a lot of listeners that perhaps are not familiar with, start to finish. What is the prosecution about? What about the three and the headed for the fourth indictment? How should we view that? We're talking about today evidence that demands a verdict. What's the evidence that Trump is guilty? What should we take away from what we're seeing? Is it a legal prosecution or is it illegal? Give an overview of that for our listeners.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. And if I could, I just want to back up just very briefly to the point you made about the wildfires. Two points there. Number one, the number of arsonists has doubled since last year. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? It tells you that the penalty for being found out to be an arsonist and to be found guilty, the penalty for it is minimal.
Yes.
And that's why more people are doing it. If it was more severe penalty, if you had jail time 5 years or longer for all the destruction that you are causing, there would be less arsonists. But we have those on the left who will not prosecute these arsonists, who will not go to the full extent of the law and jail them. And this leads into this whole thing with Donald Trump. But the second point about these wildfires, you mentioned that sometimes they are caused by downed power lines, and they are. But the reason it is causing that is twofold. Again, those on the left, those who the environmentalist wackos, first of all, on a lot of the government land, on the federal land, even on the state land, do not allow clearing of the underbrush.
Right.
And so it becomes so easily tender when a fire starts. I've seen photographs of lines that are straight as an arrow that will show one side that is privately owned, on the other side, government land, government owned, and on the government side, ravaged by fires. On the private owned land, green, no destruction of any type because they keep up with it. They clear the underbrush. Another reason why we need to get all this land out of government hands and into private hands instead. And then these power lines that fall and cause these fires. Again, those on the left will not allow the maintenance of these power lines so that they will not fall in the first place. It's insane, Dr. Young, but we see coming from the left, they don't even make sense. So, and then they don't prosecute people who do this whole thing with arson, causing these wildfires. They don't give them penalties that meet the crime. But then we go over to this whole nonsense about prosecuting President Trump simply for freedom of speech, simply because of things that he has said. They want to prosecute him, saying that he caused a riot, that they've dropped this whole nonsense about insurrection. They wanted to use that originally because if you're charged with insurrection, then according to our Constitution, you can't run for president. But they saw there is no evidence there at all that fake January 6th committee verified that there was no insurrection, that in fact, it was brought on by government plants, the FBI and so forth, that they were the ones who were instigating this entire event that happened. And I still refuse to call it a riot. It was not a riot. A riot is when you see people who are completely out of control, who are burning, looting, causing damage to the nth degree. And we have seen time and time again from videos that have been released, not by the government side, but videos that were released that it was mostly peaceful. There were a few hooligans who were causing some damage, but evidence is pointing out that those were FBI plants, that those were people who were instigating the entire thing. And then we have this prosecutor, this fake prosecutor, Jack Smith, who's going after President Trump for documents that were held at Mar-a-Lago, documents which, by the way, were legally held there, that were protected, that were locked up, that were safe, according to all the requirements that are needed by the National Archives. The National Archives are the ones who have ultimate responsibility for documents that contain secret information.
Yes.
And so they released it.
Congressman Hill, if you'd hold your thought for just a moment, we've got a hard break coming up for our top of the hour news. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. And I'll remind you again that phone number is 904-831-0917. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The cleanup now underway following yesterday's powerful storms that hit the east, hitting multiple states across the region. The severe weather brought down trees and power lines. It closed roads, canceled or delayed thousands of flights, and left at least two people dead. A 15-year-old boy was killed by a falling tree in South Carolina. A 28-year-old man was hit by lightning in Alabama. There's a new poll out on President Biden's job approval rating. It shows that its rating remains consistently low. Former President Trump's legal team has told the judge presiding over the election conspiracy case against him that the prosecutor's proposed protective order aimed at preventing public disclosure of evidence is too broad, would restrict the former president's First Amendment rights. On Wall Street, the Dow down 420 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the joy of talking with Congressman Mike Hill today. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. We're delighted that he can take time out of his busy schedule to have a little jawboning session, as I like to call it, with us by way of this broadcast about the issues that I believe are current, issues that I believe we look at, and as I'm calling the broadcast today, evidence that demands a verdict. As we see the evidence of what's taking place, the verdict is demanded. We can not circumvent it, not just close our eyes to it. We need to come to the conclusion what is taking place. Congressman Hill, we have a caller on the line. Let's take that, and we'll go back to your thoughts. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
Good afternoon. How are you, Doctor? How are you, Representative Hill?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing great. I'd like to address what you guys started the show with there, in particular Bill Nyes. One, Bill Nyes is not a weatherman or anything of that nature there. His degree is not in that. Two, a lot of these arguments, the term for close and far for planetary bodies is perigee and apogee, perihelion and aphelion, the distances away. They're saying that carbon dioxide is the contributor to global warming there. I'll give you an example here. Mars is 100 and about 42 or 43 million miles away from the sun. Its atmosphere is 95% carbon monoxide. Why isn't it a burning overheated greenhouse gas planet. Then you look at Venus, which is approximately about 60 million miles away, and it is a burning planet. We're right in the middle there, and even being 93 million miles away, that's not a constant orbit. We get closer, we get farther, and the sun itself actually sings. It goes through cycles, 11-year cycles there, and then it goes through cycles that encompass that 11 years. So its radial output or solar output just back and forth over the centuries here, and God designed it that way. Also, these wildfires there, forestry management has a huge impact on that. Canada's problem was they were so restrictive on COVID, they wouldn't even allow logging. So that's where their forestry management issues came from. And then California, obviously, they just do not do anything. Because if you look at Florida, Florida does a really good job on controlled burns and firebreak road management. And that's why we don't have – I mean, we've had fires in the past, but there have not been these runaway conflagrations there that encompass, you know, huge swaths of land.
You're exactly right. Congressman Hill, what is your response to that insightful spot-on answer and question that Jim has?
Well, Jim is exactly right. What he is stating are the facts that prove that our climate does change, but it's not changing because of human populations causing it. It is simply the physical phenomenon, and praise God that it is, that He has made this planet at the exact right distance from the sun, with the exact rotation level that it needs, with the exact magnetism levels that it needs to sustain life on this planet. It is utterly amazing, awe-inspiring, and enough to praise the living God when you just look around and see what He has created. The heavens declare the glory of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Psalms 19:1,
that He can control this planet.
Yes. In fact, when you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, I'll paraphrase that unit of thought. It is the Lord Jesus that created everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's in the heavens, everything that's beneath the heavens, everything that's on the earth, everything that's beneath the earth. And then in verse 17 and 18 says, and by Him, speaking of Jesus, all things consist. That is, He is the divine super glue that holds it all together. And I am thankful for that. Were it not for the fact that we have the confidence and the peace and knowing that He is in control, it would frighten us to death. But I'm thankful that God's in control and not government. One other thing, Jim, before we let you go, what are your thoughts, that question that you would have for Congressman Hill in relationship to what we see taking place with the fiasco of the prosecution for Donald J. Trump? Do you believe there's any element of guilt? Do you believe that he'll ultimately be found guilty? Do you believe that'll ultimately go to the Supreme Court? I could go with a dozen questions. What is your take on that? And then we'll let Congressman Hill respond.
My take on it is like I've spoke with you before on this broadcast, it's a kangaroo court. It's a witch hunt. There's absolutely no evidence for any of these charges. And it's a purely political banana republic move on the Biden administration there. There's no basis for constitutional law for any of these indictments or lawsuits there. It's just political persecution, straight and simple.
That's it. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to that?
That's right. Jim is absolutely right. We're seeing that this is all political prosecution, that it is an attempt by the Biden administration and those on the left, it's an attempt to stop Donald Trump from running for president in 2024. That's what this is all about. We understand now that Trump's lawyers are expecting the other indictment to fall in Georgia, the corrupt attorney general there, for an indictment to fall simply because President Trump called that attorney general and said, hey, do the right thing. It looks really suspicious what happened in Georgia in terms of those ballots being cast and votes taken. Investigate that. Hold off on certifying this. Hold off on sending your electors to D.C. Hold off on that for now, and just correct things, because this all looks really fishy. And because of that phone call, they're saying he was trying to control the outcome of the election. That's illegal, and we're going to indict you for it. It doesn't even make sense. And we see them doing that in Georgia. We see this corrupt, illegitimate Jack Smith, who is trying to put together this indictment because of the documents that were kept at Mar-a-Lago. Those documents were given to President Trump by the National Archives. It's not like he or anyone in his administration, on his team, went and stole those documents. In fact, they gave them to him. He took them legally to Mar-a-Lago, had them secure. They were locked up. They were in a secure place. And then we had this this corrupt Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, issue a warrant to go in and grab those documents, and used a corrupt FBI to go in there and take these documents, spread them out all over the place, take pictures of it to make it look like that's how they had been originally stored. It is so corrupt and it is so dishonest that it's a shame. It's embarrassing, Dr. Youngblood, of what they're trying to do, particularly when you see simultaneously here is Joe Biden with classified documents that he has had that since he was vice president, and they do not have the privileges of getting those documents that, again, he received from the National Archives. If anyone should be held accountable, it's those at the National Archives who released those documents. And then we have Biden when he was a senator holding boxes loads of classified documents at the University of Pennsylvania called the Biden Center, where they were not even protected. They were not locked away properly. They found documents in his garage, which was not locked or protected.
It was next to the Corvette, though, so it was protected.
Right. And Mike Pence, even. They found documents, classified documents at his place. And their defense is, oh, well, they turned them in as soon as they found out about it. That doesn't excuse anything. That's like robbing a store and then returning the items when you get caught. Oh, I turned it back in, so that no harm, no foul. Yeah. No. And the same with Obama. Obama has thousands of documents which were classified, but he had those legally because he was president. But we don't see those charges going after any of those individuals except for Donald Trump. And this corrupt Jack Smith, I don't know how he can get up and look in the mirror each day at himself, knowing that what he's doing is so wrong and so illegal. It's kind of like Adam Schiff, who knew he was lying directly to the public with that fake January 6th committee, and would look at the reporters straight in the camera, straight into the American public's eyes with these lies that there was an insurrection that was caused by President Trump, that he had done Russian collusion and all of it proven to be false. And even after it was proven to be false, this Adam Schiff still has the gall to look someone in the eye and defend his actions, even though he was caught in a lie. That is a demented, seared conscience person.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your call. I pray that we'll keep looking up. You got any further comments or a question for Congressman Hill?
No, sir. You gentlemen have a blessed day.
Sounds great. Thank you, and you also. Congressman, our time is rapidly dissipating, and I've got 100 other things I wanted to talk with you about. Let's make a transition for just a moment. Then I want to get, by the way, before we leave this subject, I'm looking at headline, federal judge blast Jack Smith for out-of-district secret grand jury blistering order. Judge Arlene Cannon Monday blasted Jack Smith for opening or operating a secret out-of-district grand jury. Are you familiar with the Florida judge that's just wrapped Jack Smith on the knuckles for having a grand jury in New York and then not give the evidence and the information from that grand jury and impaneled a new grand jury in South Florida that then gave that information to the judge for the prosecution of Donald Trump? And she is now livid that he has lied to her, deceived the public, deceived the court record, et cetera, et cetera. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with it, Dr. Youngblood, but it doesn't surprise me with this corrupt Jack Smith that he would do a thing like that and have the nerve to think that he could get away with it. I'm thankful for this Judge Cannon who is calling him out and not letting him get away with it.
Yes. In fact, the Judge Cannon said this, Jack Smith has been using a grand jury in D.C. to investigate Trump's classified documents. Now, out of nowhere, a Florida grand jury popped up and indicted Trump. Jack Smith indicted Trump on 37 federal counts in Miami in June. A special count as special counsel, is special counsel Jack Smith breaking the law himself in his prosecution of Donald J. Trump? I am prayerful that that judge will unpeel the onion and get to the bottom line. In fact, it's Alan Dershowitz, I believe it is, that said that Jack Smith, probably with this is all wrapped up, should be prosecuted himself for deceiving the courts and bringing a false charge against Trump. But the whole thing is, Congressman, and you tell me where you would disagree or your thoughts, the whole thing that is now against Trump is his First Amendment rights. They're claiming that he should not have claimed, should not have said, should not have challenged the 2020 election, that he, in fact, supposedly knew that he had lost the election and then wanted to go back and counter the election and try to modify and change the election. That's the claim they're making. And so my question is, wouldn't that fall under the realm of First Amendment rights? In fact, the courts ruled, Supreme Court, and I didn't know until recent investigation of that, Supreme Court ruled just in the last several years that with a quote, with a politician, you can expect them to lie, and that is that lie is covered under the First Amendment right for freedom of speech, whether it's truth or lie. And yet they're claiming that Trump should have known, and therefore knowing that he lost the election, then he's being tried now, prosecuted, indicted for claiming that the election was stolen. But I am delighted when I see, I'm looking at one headline, Trump's lawyer says the third indictment opens the door for more scrutiny of the 2020 election because Jack Smith has brought this into the limelight as one of the charges against Trump. That's going to allow Trump's people, lawyers, to open Pandora's box, as it would be called, to prove that there was fraudulent votes in the election, especially in the five battleground states. And I believe that's going to backfire, as Jonathan Turley even said, that's going to backfire on Jack Smith bringing those claims. But here's the bottom line. As one has said, I didn't originate the statement. If they can prosecute Trump for First Amendment rights, First Amendment free speech, they can prosecute any and every one of us. It's a matter of who makes the decision, who's the adjudicator, the judge, what is challenged, what is to be challenged as free speech, and what is not to be challenged. That's the bottom line. And this is the reason I think it is so important for us to recognize what is happening in America today. One headline says Trump prosecutor actually targeting all Americans for free speech. Another one says, who actually threatens the integrity of the U.S. vote? And it's going to bring back in Engelbrecht, Greg Phillips, and the 2000 Mules video proving that the election was stolen. And that's going to be part of Trump's rebuttal in the court case. But Congressman, you recently were involved in a meeting. I understand you attended a Article 5 Convention of States in Williamsburg, Virginia. Tell us about your convention. What was it about? What took place? What's your takeaway from it?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, it was an event in Williamsburg, Virginia, and what was done was a number of delegates from each state, all 50 states were represented there, and what it was to do a simulation of an Article 5 Convention of States. According to our Constitution, in Article 5, it states that our Constitution can be amended two ways. One, that Congress can submit an amendment to our Constitution, which has to be ratified by at least 38 of our states, or that if a number of states were to come in agreement that they want to hold a constitutional convention for the purpose of changing our Constitution, amending our Constitution, that it can be done that way, and Congress must then call a convention of states. Well, what we did was we did a simulation that if there was a convention of states actually held, what could it look like? What would it look like? What rules would we play by? And how would it be done? And it was a very formal proceedings. The first day, we broke up into three different committees. The committees were based on financial or fiscal constraints. The second one was on judiciary, and the third was on term limits. And so we broke up into those three different committees. Those committees were to bring back to the entire convention the next day, three proposals for amendments to our Constitution. Well, the committee that I was on, fiscal constraints, we only brought one back to the floor, and that was for a balanced budget amendment. The other committees also brought back more than one in terms of constraints on time limits. But what was interesting, Dr. Youngblood, is what we found was that it was very hard to come to an agreement of what that amendment should look like to our Constitution, which I believe is a good thing. It should be hard. It should be difficult to amend our Constitution. And even though the vast majority of the attendees there were conservatives, we still had a hard time agreeing on what should be the constitutional amendment. I'll take, for example, the term limits that were set. It was hard to determine if we wanted to set term limits just on Congress or if we wanted to include judges. And what about Supreme Court judges? Should they be included? And what those term limits should be? Should it be 12 years? Should it be 16 years? Should it be 18 years? And we were debating throughout. I mean, we would debate for hours on those different subjects before we finally would come to a conclusion. And I don't think we ever did come to a conclusion about term limits. That one was just pushed aside altogether because we could not come to an agreement on who should be included on those term limits and what that length of time should be. So it was very interesting. I was honored and glad to be a part of it. The first day was committee meeting. Second day was bringing it to the floor. And even though some states had more delegates than others, three was the maximum, each state had only one vote. So the three delegates from Florida, which I know we're all friends, what we would do is, as a particular topic was being debated, we would discuss amongst ourselves, are we up or down on this one? And we would say yay or nay as a state, one vote per state. So it was very interesting. We would start early, 8 a.m., and we would go through the entire day, finish at 5 p.m., 4 p.m. But it was very interesting. And what it showed to me was that A convention of states is possible, but it is also difficult, as it should be.
That's interesting. In fact, my question that perhaps you have thought about also in relationship to that, let's do some assumptions that there is an actual constitutional convention for the purpose of analyzing the Constitution, determining if we need to have additional amendments or what they would be, what it'd be like. What's the possibility, in your mind, if a convention is called like that, and then the gavel is dropped, the meeting is opened, and enough people then rally around a cry to cancel the Constitution or to radically modify the Constitution? What is, in your opinion, a safety provision that would prevent that from taking? That's what's always worried me. For years, yeah, we've talked about a constitutional convention to modify the U.S. Constitution. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know there are a lot who tend to think that way, Dr. Youngblood, and my friends at the John Birch Society are very vocal about that. They are adamantly against an Article 5 Convention of States to amend our Constitution because of the very issues that you raise, that our Constitution may be radically changed or completely thrown out, and we have a whole new Constitution that would be implemented. I think that the likelihood of that happening is small. And the reason I say that is the rules state that it is one vote for each state. And there are more conservative red states than there are blue states. Even though California and New York have large populations, so does Texas and Florida. But it doesn't matter, because it's one vote per state. Okay, so there are more conservative states than there are leftist states. So I think that is one backstop to prevent a runaway convention. But number two, it has to be ratified by 38 of the states. And I don't think that 38 of our United States, particularly when we have so many that are conservative, are going to step up and say, you're right, let's throw out our entire Constitution, let's implement this new one, let's make sure we take out the freedom, the right to bear arms, let's take out freedom of speech because of so much hate speech. I think it is very unlikely we would see something like that. And my experience being at this simulation, I think, bears witness to that, when it was so hard for us to even come to agreement on conservative issues.
Yes. I know in the state of Florida, Congressman, perhaps you're familiar with this from having served in the legislature, but we've modified our Constitution, the state of Florida Constitution, I believe, 127 times, 124 times, and with the U.S. Constitution, only 27 amendments. And right now, prepared for the November 2024 election cycle, there's a constitutional amendment there that will legalize marijuana for recreational use in the state of Florida. One of the most frightening amendments that is being proposed for 2024 is to make abortion open and legal in the state of Florida, being pushed by Planned Parenthood. I understand they already have the signatures. The petition is ready, and it is worrisome that we keep modifying our Constitution in the state of Florida. I believe the Constitution should be so that it makes it very, very, very difficult to modify or to change. We've got about 30 seconds left. Wrap up your thoughts of what we've talked about today and your challenge to the Christians and conservatives that's tuned in.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I would say that what we are seeing are some very perilous times that we're going through right now. And now, more than ever, it is incumbent upon Christians to pray. Prayer is powerful. God listens to our prayers. And it's not just something where we throw up and hope that God answers. No, God will answer the prayers of the righteous, those Amen. Who have been accepted by Jesus Christ. Pray and pray for God to continue showing his grace and mercy on this nation.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.